It didn't matter whether the grocery stores had food or not.
You can't get,
a lot of people couldn't get out of the driveway.
Yeah, exactly. To get to the grocery store. I mean, you know, chances are in a few days you'll kind of get, but you know, it's just that idea that it's really very, it's like when you start, we won't go down this road, but it's like when you start talking about like money and cash and what it is, and then you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's just an IOU for nothing. I just can't even go there. So we,
I know.
That and dust mites. Don't even go down those roads because you don't want to know.
Leave that alone.
We don't want to know.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
We're gonna get in because we gotta let the people hear all about this. Welcome everybody to episode 171 of Designer Cornbread Podcast. Finally, you guys, we're back. It's been forever and a day.
It has been 2 weeks for
it's
sure.
It's been 2 weeks. We took off Christmas, as you all know. Have we not had we had one after that. Okay, wait. All of a sudden I thought we hadn't had one since before Christmas. No, we had one. One or two after Christmas.
We have met through January.
That's right.
Until last week. And we did not meet last week because I have survived the great ice storm of the South.
The ice apocalypse, the ice Arctic bomb cyclone. Yeah.
Yes.
You guys.
All of that.
All of that. Well, let's start there and give, and I'm sure many of our listeners, you know, y'all are all over the place, but I know we have a lot of people and, you know, or a lot, I say a lot, you guys, five, two, I don't know, but you know, Mississippi and Texas and around places in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It's been a time. So fill us in on your condition and what's been going on.
So as you all know, there's a big difference between a snowstorm and an ice storm.
For sure.
And if you have never lived through an ice storm, I'm going to tell you that it is horrific. This is the second one that I have encountered in my lifetime. Mm. And Hardin County, which is where I live, North Mississippi, we all got hit extremely hard with ice. And y'all, just a little bit of ice causes the trees to collapse, causes electrical lines to come down. And so that is where we are. And even, you know, this is good because the ones who are my age and older and remember the ice storm of 94, we talk about this. And my students, and I talk about it during emergency preparedness and all that. And my kids just kind of roll their eye. You know, I mean, it's not a big deal. And even one of my former students, I had posted before the storm hit. Of course, I went to the store early on because I know the panic of the people as it gets closer. And so when I'm at the store, the ones there are the older people on Monday.
For sure.
I kind of posted, I said, you can tell who lived through the ice storm of 94.
Yep.
And one of my former students came back and said, posted underneath it, he said, I am so sick of the old timers talking about frozen 94. And I didn't say anything until about 2 days into this. And I came in, I posted under it, and I said, well, did you learn anything?
Mm-hmm. How you like it now?
He said, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry for everything I ever said.
And second of all, old timers, I don't know that I appreciate that.
Well, we are old timers to them. So
I guess so.
Anyway, y'all, this massive ice storm hit, and I'm going to tell you, I got a glimpse of what it was like for people living here during the Civil War, because when these trees all around me started popping, it sounded like cannons going off.
That would be so unnerving.
The woods beside me have totally collapsed.
Oh my
I mean, they're just glad. Before I could see the outline of my neighbor's house, you know, just through the trees.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a clear view. All the trees are down. There is, I mean, it's just a straight shot from my house to his house now.
Yeah.
We managed to keep electricity. And I'm going to tell you that's a miracle. And I actually have a miracle story for that. But the neighbors on each side of me have lost power
over
a week. Over a week.
I was so amazed to hear that you all kept it. It went out for just a little bit, but you all kept it. Was actually amazing.
Just, I mean, we are like the only little strip in my neighborhood that's kept it. But here's the deal. We are actually in town. So all these people who live out in the county, number one, they're having to cut the roads out. They're having to cut a pathway because all the trees are in the road.
Yeah.
So they can't even get electricity restored until they get the trees moved out of the way.
Right. They have to clear the things off. They get the lines that are down off of thing. I mean, it's a whole procedure.
It's like a tornado. It's like an F5 tornado came through.
Yeah.
Except our houses are standing. The trees are gone. But
I know.
So here is my miracle of all miracles. And I told Ron this before the storm got predicted to be as bad as it was. I had multiple Bible verses coming up about light in the darkness. You know, wherever, all those different light, I am the light of the world. You know, the darkness has not overcome it. Just all these things start coming up everywhere in every devotion that I did. Hmm. And I told Ron finally as it got closer, and there was one the day that it was going to hit. And I said, you know, I don't know if we're going to keep electric, if this means we're going to keep electricity or lose it. But here are all my Bible verses this week. It was really, really strange.
Hmm.
And then as our electricity started holding, I thought, well, God has allowed me to keep electricity so that it can be a blessing to others.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. We had several people who came because I have an empty upstairs, empty bathroom up here.
I know. There's such a blessing that you had space.
And we had several people who could, you know, came and we were a refuge until I woke up Monday morning with fever. And I was like, okay, I don't understand what this is about, what's going on.
There was no verse about the fever coming.
No verse about the fever. Anyway, thankfully, Mom was here and she had electricity so Ron could get her home.
Okay.
And then Hino and Janie stayed here. And the day I woke up sick is the day they got electricity back.
Okay.
So they were able to go home. And we had another elderly lady here, but she went and was able to stay with my pastor and his wife when they got electricity back. Mm-hmm. So it worked out, but there are people still, we're, you know, a week plus days after this.
Yeah.
And people still don't have power. And we have suffered through some of the coldest.
It's so cold.
Days.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we've seen the best of humanity. We've seen the worst of humanity. I mean, we've certainly seen people steal things and all of that. But, you know, I heard a story a friend of ours was telling that his brother-in-law was driving to work, or he had just gone and picked up a generator or something for his family, finally found one. Because again, in these emergency situations, everything's gone.
Yeah.
There's no people.
It's not the time that you want to have to go get that stuff. And unfortunately, it often takes being through it to realize that. But
so he went and bought a generator for his family. And on the way home, he saw a lady with like four kids and they were just standing outside around like a trash barrel burning
outside. Why were they
outside? That's the only heat source they had was that.
Well, you're going to be colder outside.
Fire.
Okay. All right. That makes no sense,
they
but okay.
Fire. They were just warming their hands.
Okay.
Just getting some sort of heat there. Because no, it's as cold inside as it is outside. You know, so he pulled over and asked him why they were outside and all this. And she said, this is the only way we have to keep warm. This is it. So that man unloaded his generator, plugged it in to their house, got everything situated for them, got electricity back on in their house. he didn't have the money to go buy another generator for his family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're seeing the best, you know, but there was not a man in the home. And so he knew he could take care of his family.
Right.
So he gave the generator to this family. So you're seeing acts like that. You're seeing community support pour out of, you know, come shower here, come do this. We're opening, we've opened the high school gymnasium as a warming station. People are bringing supplies in. Red Cross has shown up and they're feeding people hot meals. The National Guard has been called in to clear streets and roadways and, you know, just crazy. It's just crazy to watch.
It's crazy. And life just kind of stops, you know, everything just, and all resources get turn towards the most important things, which it becomes very clarifying.
Survival. It's very,
it becomes it's not real hard to kind of figure out quickly. It's hard to sometimes to get the logistics of how to do things, but it's not hard to figure out what actually matters, what needs to happen, you know, when these things happen. And I mean, it's going to be a long, you know, it's going to be a long recovery just to get.
It is. Oh, it's an overwhelming recover. I mean, just we are okay. Now a tree fell on my house. We did not think it did any damage. Anyway, they came yesterday.
I'm sure the roof has a little.
There was a, you know, they said there is a log sticking through the roof.
Through the roof, yeah.
It did not come through the ceiling because
luckily it was just in your attic space, or where I could tell because I looked at that. You sent the picture, and I was so grateful because it. You know, yeah, it could have been a lot worse, but I was like, you'll have some roof.
So, know. But so here, I'm miracles. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. We're ready for the miracles.
Oh, we did have limbs hanging on lines here. And when the tree guys came to get the tree off the house, they said, hey, we can get these off the lines for you. And Ron said, are you sure you can do that? They said, yeah, we can do that. And then one of the guys looked at Ron. He said, you have electricity? Ron said, yeah. And he talked for a minute. And he looked at him. He said, sir, are you sure you have electricity? Ron said, well, I think I would know.
I'm pretty sure.
And he looked at him and he said, okay. He said, you need to understand. He said, I'm a certified linesman. I'm looking at these lines. They're touching. They're on top of each other. It's pulled from the transformer. He said, there is no way that you should have electricity.
Mm.
He said, I am telling you, there is no way that you should have electricity.
Oh my goodness. The Lord.
Ron looked at him and said, but by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You know, and I'm careful with that. I don't know why the Lord allowed us to keep electricity and somebody else not to.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he was clearly, clearly shocked that we had electricity.
Wow.
Okay. You need to call TVUC and tell them about these lines. He said, we got the lines down, but they need to know they need to come fix these.
That the lines still need to be.
So.
Oh, wow.
That happened. And then we called the guy who did all of our additions on the house. And Ron said, yeah, we do have a log through the roof. If you can. You know,
put us on the list.
On the list.
Right.
And he said, have you got a tarp over it? Ron said, well, I've got a tarp. He said, frankly, I'm waiting. I'm trying to let some of this ice melt. He said, I don't want to get up there and Clark Griswold myself.
Oh my gosh.
And he said, yeah, we don't want these set to what I'll send somebody over today. And he said, we've got enough equipment. He said, they'll just take care of that. So the guy comes over and he says, hey, have you got a crawl space? And Ron said, no. He said, there's not crawl space up there. He said, nope. He said, when Jeff did this addition, he used every available space. And he said, but it did not come through the ceiling. And the guy said, you understand. He said, I'm not seeing it go through the roof either. And he said, it's not. He said, I've moved the log now. And
oh, really?
There's not a hole in your roof.
What?
And he said, now, some of the flashing we need to work on. He said, but we can do that. No, that's no big deal. And so now I don't have I've gone from a log sticking out of my roof to nothing.
To no hole in your roof. That's amazing. I thought for sure there'd be just, you know, chances are something poked through.
Yeah. No damage.
Gosh.
No damage.
Wow.
So I can't explain it.
No.
I can't explain it, but the darkness did not overcome it.
The darkness did not overcome it. My goodness.
But
that's wild.
They're in a shape. I don't know when. We were out of school last week. We'll be out of school all this week. I
imagine into next week even a little.
Well, I think they may. It may be a situation of if you can get here, get here.
Okay. Kind of like start back and just sort of get a little bit of normalness for those that can get there. Yeah.
At that point, it's just going to be a matter of feeding kids.
Yeah. And doing some stuff together and keeping them occupied and, you know, yeah.
Because if you've got some who can get there and some who can't, teaching's going to be very difficult to, you know, you're going to have to go back and reteach. And
exactly.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
My goodness.
I don't know, but it's an overwhelming situation here. I mean, just looking at my yard is overwhelming for me. I can't imagine what all these people going through, you know, still no power. Still,
well, and the thing is, too, even the whole state of Tennessee, I mean, it's not just y'all. I mean, Nashville is a disaster.
Yes.
And I mean, think about how many people, the population, I mean, Franklin, Brentwood, all over, you know, JB is up there, Thatcher's up there, and Thatcher never lost power. He never did. His little apartment just kept it, but his good friend Luke had been over there for the last 6 days because he was out. So they were rooming together in his little apartment. He had the sofa bed and it, you know, worked out really great, but he just went back yesterday to his apartment. So
JB was out for several days. And, you know, here's the thing that I will say about this too. And I don't want to make light of what anybody is going through. There's a lot of suffering going on. But here's what I do know is that times like these build resilience.
Yeah, they do. They can or they can't.
Right. Well, and frankly, we need that right now. Mm-hmm. We need to start building some resilience. We've also gotten away from survival skills. And I even, you know, a lot of people who live out in the country are like, yeah, we've replaced all of our wood burning stove with propane and with this and that. And, you know, and then times like this happen and you can't get protein.
You can't get that either. You can't get your protein or your propane.
And all of the technology and all of this stuff, we've become dependent on things that require electricity.
Yeah.
And so I think all this is good. One, to build resilience. Just like my kids, you know, mocking our emergency prep stuff, they need to go through this to realize,
how close
I need. Yeah.
And we don't, you know, we're not going to go into a whole thing and scaring people because we're so blessed in this country. Yeah. We're very blessed. But, you know, it doesn't take much. That's what I cannot really let myself think about too hard because I have in the past thought about it and, you know, again, it's not, you don't want to fear monger, but at the same time, the reality of that it doesn't take that much, that grocery stores have about 3 days worth of food and that's it. And if trucks can't get, you know, it's just, it's all a wonderful system until it's not.
And look right now, it didn't matter whether the grocery stores had food or not. A lot of people couldn't get out of the driveway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, chances are in a few days you'll kind of get, but you know, it's just that idea that it's really very, it's like when you start, we won't go down this road, but it's like when you start talking about like money and cash and what it is, and then you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's just an IOU for nothing. I just can't even go there. So
I know.
That and dust mites. Don't even go down those roads because you don't want to know.
Leave that alone.
We don't want to know.
But it is. And especially teaching high school, look, we've got a great group of kids coming up. I don't want to say
that. Yeah, for sure.
But there's not a lot of resilience. There's not because of technology. I mean, we've all, and that's not just kids, it's all of us. We've all kind of gone soft because right now everything's so easy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and even spiritually speaking, you know, I think Chuck Swindoll has been one to say, he said, I've never met anyone who's grown in easy times.
No.
And
you
it's
don't.
The same thing with this. Mm-hmm. These are hard, hard, difficult times. But my students are going to see that they survived and that they can survive.
Right. Yep. And it's when those times of hardship, you know, whether it's a drought and the trees, you know, their roots go deeper.
Yeah.
Right? Your roots go deeper to get the water, to find the things. So that is, you have to, you know, they say that the stronger plants and the stronger trees and all that stuff, it's because they've kind of had to, you know, go through a little hard time. And we're basically plants. We're the same. So
it's a living creatures. I know we need to.
Yeah. Toughen up. So
dig down. And
you're right. The idea that once you know, I mean, that's just true with anything, you know, we've talked about like just self-esteem and how that's built, and it's built through doing the hard thing. That's what builds your self-esteem, is because you know, oh, I can do that. I can feel that. And I won't, you know, die, and that's fine. And I got through it. And that's what builds self-esteem, not the false praises or the false reassurances, you know, only go so far. I hope that's the case.
I was saying this to a woman the other day that I was talking to, and she said, you know, you're right. She said, my daughter, she had a teenage daughter. She said she was having a total meltdown. She said, we had no electricity. It's been very rough several days. And she said, my daughter's having a meltdown. And she said, and my husband just grabbed her by the shoulders and looked at her and said, look, this is where we are. This is what's happening. And this is what we have to deal with. And having a come apart is not going to get us through it. We just have to get through it, you know? And she said that whatever he said to her clicked.
Good.
You know, and it is, I mean, and I think it's fine. Everybody's going to have a meltdown at some point. You get tired, you're exhausted, you're done dealing with
At some point it just gets where you get worn out from it. Yeah.
But then you realize that breakdown doesn't matter. You've still got to get through it. So, I say all that sitting in my warm electric home.
I know. I always feel bad. Like,
I know. But the truth of it is, in 94, I didn't have electricity, and I did go for a week without electricity. And I did have my elderly grandfather that I was highly concerned about. I did have, you know, and so I there's some experience speaking from that place.
Yeah.
I was really, really, really blessed this time.
For sure. And like you said, it's just this idea that, you know, when the things, I think, again, we're so conditioned now to be afraid of everything. And it's easy. It's easy to do that. I can definitely lean towards towards that in certain things. And then you've got everyone around you. I chuckled the other day because I did see a thing, the second storm that just hit more the Northeast, like the Carolinas and up into Eastern Tennessee and all that. They got quite a bit of snow and stuff, but they were calling it a bomb cyclone. Again, I'm like, stop. I'm like, stop. You've got to stop. Now it just makes me laugh kind of, because I'm like, whatever. You know what it's like when you've got all that around you, just kind of constantly feeding that fear and then feeding the, you know, whereas if you just kind of, you're going to be fine, most likely.
What it's also doing, though, is conditioning us to not pay attention.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
When everything is a, you know, gorilla hail and polar bomb, cyclone, and, you know, all this stuff, and then it's, you know, and then it's a snowstorm.
Right. I mean,
people just kind of, when you have something like this,
people
tend to just say, whatever.
It's the little boy that cried wolf, you know. At some point, we just kind of go, we can't hype up our nervous systems and our cortisol levels, like, over and over again.
I don't know what the answer to that. I did actually hear there is a guy that I like a weather guy that I really like is Ryan Hall, y'all. And I mean, he doesn't build a lot of hype on stuff. He's he's pretty normal, and he's on top of everything.
Yeah, you know? I love that. Yeah, we've got a guy here in the local St. Louis. Tim makes fun of me, but now he does have him give weather alerts on his phone. Steve Templeton, Channel 4, who's the best, like when the tornadoes, because we get a lot of, that's what we have to deal with a lot. But he is like on it. Like he's very calm and very explains things, but very good. And he's like, okay, if you're here, it'll be there in 5 minutes. Here's the track. Like he's just super accurate, super calm.
And Ryan Hall, y'all, is, I mean, he's nationwide.
Okay.
I think he's out of Kentucky. He's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he's really great. But he did address, you know, that over-the-top kind of thing. And he said, so, he said, you have to, he said, if I just go and post, here's Tuesday's weather, nobody's going to click on that.
Right. No, you have to give it a little... Yeah.
So I don't know. And he was kind of saying the same thing. He said, I don't know where we put the line of getting people to click on our stuff and not over hyping stuff.
Right. That's true. That's true. And I think they did a pretty good job up here. Like we got 12 inches of snow. So thankfully we didn't get ice at all. But we got a good foot, 10 to 12 in our yard. It varied all over, but, so it's still out there. We're covered, but, really much easier to, I will take snow over ice any day of the week. A, it's pretty, and it was very light and fluffy snow. So like, it was even easy to shovel. Like we kind of got the best scenario, very bitter cold, our house that if one thing I can tell, I'm like, man, having a fireplace is great, but it also just sucks the heat out of the, anyway, so I had the front door taped up cause it just pours in. You can just feel the air. So we did a few things and kind of just got ready thinking, you know, same thing, electric could go. Tim had the generators, you know, he runs them every 30 days or so just to keep them up. And so we were ready. And we didn't lose any, thankfully, which we usually in the past, I think they've replaced one of our, what's the thing he called, transformer? Because we used to go out all the time. Like the wind would barely blow and we'd be like, we'd be out. That's why we got the generators, because we're like, we're done with this. We're not doing this anymore. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, and this was good for Ron Schenck to go through too, because Ron wasn't here in 94. And he doesn't, you know, I can sit here and tell him and tell him and tell him. I was like, are we prepared? Are we prepared? Well, then he was like, yeah, we got the gym, you know, this, that, and the other. Then he gets out there and he can't get the generator to start.
Yep. You got to start them up every once in a while.
You know, and it just was, put it off and he put his stuff off and he put stuff off. And we wouldn't have had a generator had we lost electricity.
Yeah.
But this was good for him to go through because I can sit here and tell him he'd never been. They have a lot of snow. They have ice in Minnesota.
But they deal with it.
But they,
they have the equipment to handle it.
But they don't have trees up there.
Well, some places do, but not as much. But they are, yeah, you're right.
Farm land. I mean, you go up there and it's just.
That's true. The cities probably have, you know, but they also have the equipment to really deal with the roads and get people back to the stores quickly. I mean.
It's the trees. Y'all, it's the trees.
It is.
And, you know, and he, so this was a big eye opener.
Yeah. Well, and you can see the holes in your. You can see the weak spots in your prep for sure. Like you go this or that. I mean, I still have our big tub downstairs is still full and my water is still because if we have a water main break.
Right. That's like, I've still got water. I mean,
it's so cold.
Gallon water drum, but I thought that thing's going to be frozen probably.
Well,
and so I've got counters full of jugs and jugs of water. And that was the same thing. I filled up bathtubs full of water.
Because the water main could go. We still have, you know, every electric in, but if it's been so cold. So I just keep that fill. I'm just like, you know, let's, till we kind of get out of this, let's just not, because you know what? I want to be able to flush a potty.
Flush a toilet? Yeah.
I don't know about y'all. Oh my gosh. I have to share this text thread. This was so funny. So I was sending out, you know, I think it was in this one. I was sending out, Have to see where it was. Oh, shoot. I don't know where it was. Oh, no, here we go. So I was sending out to the kids, just sort of checking in before that, you know, all came, especially with like Hudson, because I know Caleb's there and he's probably, but I'm like, just make sure he's aware that like, go get your food, you know, because it was supposed to hit Chattanooga. Luckily, they didn't get really much of anything, but, anyway, so I, you know, I've been checking in and stuff. And then when it started to hit and everything, I think I put, first of all, Thatcher had to send a text out to us to be sure to bring in our bonsai trees for Christmas. He gave us all, these beautiful little bonsais that his good friend Micah here up in town does. That's one of his little side businesses. He creates and sells bonsai trees. So we'd all gotten for Christmas, and they're supposed to stay outside really pretty much of the time. These are not the pine ones. They're deciduous, so they don't have their leaves right now. They just look like little stick trees. But you're supposed to just leave them outside like a normal tree unless it gets below 15, and then it's like, okay. So he was texting us all to bring in our bonsais. So we had that going. And then I texted. I said, fill up your tubs so you can flush the potty. If the electricity goes out, because like if I was thinking of like my dad, they're on well. And if you're on a well, then the thing to pull the water, it's electric, the pump or whatever. So I was kind of thinking that, but then also like just water main break, just in general. Avery goes, toilets need electricity? ! And I said, well, the tank won't fill without it if you put, you know, if the electric goes out and it needs, I don't know. And she was all shooketh. And then I said, well, it just depends on the building, how your building is and how it gets the water. And I just said, your water might stay on or whatever. And then Thatcher goes, what if I don't have a tub? And then I said, sucks to be you. Avery goes, you're dead. So that's the love.
Yes, show the love.
We had a lot of love. He's like, what if I don't have a tub? And she's like, you're dead.
Yeah. So, you're gone.
That's how we handle. And then just Tim 3D printing everything. I sent you that picture.
Y'all,
my husband and that 3D printer, he loves it so dearly. He loves it so very much. But this fool made this contraption, printed the... I sent it to you and I sent it to the kids because I'm like, send help, y'all. This is beyond the pale. He made this thing that you... I'm sorry. It just cracks me up. It's this plastic thing and it holds the spray can, a spray paint. But here's the thing. To make this do, you go down and he took his... What kind of saw is it that like... It's got a blade that sticks out and it's like a hand, electric hand. I don't know what that's called. You know, anyway, it's got that long blade and it kind of like an electric knife, you know. And he's like, so you take that blade and you scrape off all the sharp parts of it and you make it, you know, flat, whatever. Then there's a spot on this plastic thing. You stick the can in that and you stick that dulled blade into that and you turn on your... saw and it shakes saw. your spray paint can for you. Y'all, I just was like, what
it's
in the blazes?
So would, difficult to shake a spray can.
It's too hard. I said, honey, what in the world is so hard about shaking? I mean, like, how many spray paint cans a year do you shake?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, well, I don't know, but it's cool.
Now I don't have to.
And the kids were totally on my side, which was, you know, me even happier. Because they're like, Dad? She was like, how many? I mean, and I said, God forbid we do any extra activity. God forbid we burn some calories shaking a spray paint can for 30 seconds.
My gosh.
So that was it sent me into absolute hysterics. I thought we have gone over the edge. So he's been printing away. That's going good. I worked on my little photo book. I just did all my little inside things, painted by numbers.
Been painting by numbers.
Did you do some artwork?
I did some artwork.
Isn't it therapeutic?
It really is.
It's just nice because you're not having to think about where the colors. You just kind of do it. I love it.
Except I will tell you that I had to take a picture of the printout and like enlarge.
So you can zoom it up. Yeah, I know. That's the small problems we have. But I did that. I finished a blanket. Oh my gosh, she's got binoculars, y'all. Are you spying on your neighbor?
No, I actually was spying on the deer because we had deer down before all the trees collapsed. Oh. I was like, is that a deer? And there was a little deer had nested down there in the middle of the woods.
I was going to say, that was probably its little cozy nest.
It was. And now I'm worried about her because I haven't seen her back since all the whole collapse.
Well, that's not a good place to bed down anymore, I reckon. It's not soft and nice. So you have to give us the deer report. I will also, Tim was very concerned. We are heading down to Louisiana in March because we've got one of the cousins, little Connor. Do you remember Connor who came up for the wedding? That handsome, cute as a bug. Well, he's getting married. He is getting married to this delightful girl. Anyway, so we're all like the Clampets. We're heading down there. And Tim is all excited. Of course, we haven't been down there for a good while. So it'll be a good time with all his cousins. Y'all, it's going to be a time. But Tim got real concerned with all the cold and the weather because he's scared it's crawfish season and he's scared that the crawfish are going to get froze. So he's like, Lord, please protect the crawfish during the snowstorm. Let them get the crawfish.
The water.
So that's what Tim don't let them freeze in the water. So that is what Tim has been concerned with, the crawfish. Hopefully they'll be okay. And then we need to touch on, I know this is like 20 million years ago now, but we haven't even talked about the national championship football because we have not been here since Indiana. I don't think we discussed it. We discussed it before, but we didn't discuss that they won. The championship, college championship.
A million years ago to me now.
It is a million. I mean, I almost didn't want to bring it up because I'm just like, people, that's like old news. We're done. And it is. And we're not really going to, now there's no point in really going into it except I want to say.
Everybody was a Hoosier.
Everybody was a Hoosier. And then that sweet little peanut, Fernando, was at his after interview and the whole stadium is singing Fernando. I'm like, this was the most special, precious thing ever. His play, of course, I don't need to tell you all. Again, we are the oldest news here. It's already, but his fourth down play to jump in there and get that touchdown is one of the best plays. I mean, it was just that I've ever seen in college football or any football. So we're late in the game, but congratulations. Other than that, let's see. I did prep for the snowstorm by going and buying to Sephora and Ulta and buying a bunch of different foundations I wanted to try, and I played with makeup.
Okay.
You know, we all have our things. Literally the day before the storm came, I was at the Sephora because I had a couple. My skin is doing weird things, y'all. I don't know. Things aren't sitting on it right. I don't know. And I wanted to try some balm cream kind of. I just needed to try some things. So I was out doing that, and I would like credit because I refrained from turning around and singing the Fernando song to these young boys that were in line behind me. Now, I don't know why. They were 12, 13-year-old, three of them, boys at the Sephora. Uh-huh. That threw me. They were cute as bugs. But I'm like, what? No mom around? Nobody around? Just these three, like 12, 13-year-old? And I was like, what in tarnation are they doing in here? And maybe had like a little sample packs of like cologne or something. You know, I couldn't tell because I'm literally going, what are they buying? Like, what's happening? And one of them had an Indiana sweatshirt on. Uh-huh. And I turned around and I refrained. I wanted to sing.
We're going
to
sing.
Something in the air that night. The stars were bright. Fernando. I did not. Because I didn't want to scare them. Because 12-year-old, 13-year-old boys, they're a flighty breed. You have to be careful. But I did look at him and I went, how about Fernando? And he looked at me like, what? His little braces? Uh-huh. He looked up at me and I said, Fernando. And he was like, oh, yeah, yeah. So it was so precious. I said, that was a great game. And he said, yeah. And then I don't know why this just struck me. It was just really cute. Then the lady that was checking me out, she was like, what? And I said, Indiana won the football championship. She's like, oh, I don't really follow football. Okay, I didn't know. I said, well, it was great. And she said, I'm more of a hockey. I like to go to the hockey games. And I was like, oh, great. St. Louis is a great hockey town. And then the little guy who was checking out, who was in line, his buddies were kind of waiting over there. He piped up and said, I play hockey.
Aww.
And we were like, I said, you do? Where? And he said, Kirkwood. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's great. And I said, I bet your practice times are like at the dawn, crack of dawn. How's that? And he was like, we had a whole conversation. And let me tell you what, little 12, 13, 14 year old boys, I don't know how to say it, but again, I'm a boy mom and a girl mom. So I love every boy I see is just my son at that age.
Yes.
That's same with girls, but I just, I'm not scared of boys. I don't know if that makes sense. Not that, you know what I mean, not scared, but like they're precious peanuts to me.
Yes.
Whereas I think a lot of times in our kind of society right now, it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe I'm reading into it, but it's like people don't want to talk or interact with them. Like girls are kind of more approachable, I feel like, just because socially they can be, you know, a little more socially, yeah, like kind of, not always. I'm probably making up a lot of stuff, but it's just my impression that when you're in a Sephora and there's a 50 something year old woman checking out in front of you and you are 13 and you're in the Sephora, hey, I guess I got to give them props for that. I mean, right then and there, I think that they're already,
I don't know, then, maybe got that grandma vibe going. So,
you know what? All right, I'm going to let that go. I'm sure I do. And that's what I'm like, I had total mom vibe, but it was the fact that I addressed them and engaged with them and they just responded and were so cute. And oh, I play hockey, you know, oh my gosh. And you're like, you know, they're delightful little people. And I hope it, you know, it blessed me that they were willing to engage a little bit and not just be like, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So yep. shout out to the Utes of America and the boys getting their little cologne samples or whatever they were doing at Sephora. But other than that, I have no idea what I've been doing. No idea. I did go out a few times. I've been out a few times since the storm, but not that much because it's cold.
I had a woman call me from church. Had like a chicken stew fundraiser and would you help make cakes? We're just sheet cakes. And I said, sure, I'll be happy to. And she said, good, we need 12.
12? Okay. All right.
Made 12 sheet cakes. And anyway.
That kept you busy. Well, they were still going with whatever their fundraiser was?
We did. And I don't know how it did because I stayed home from church Sunday just to try to get through all this.
Yes.
So I don't know how they did, but yeah, we had one day we opened the fellowship hall, used it as a warming center,
mm-hmm,
had a shower there, had, you know, where people could just come stay or shower or
yeah,
cook stuff or whatever. And then we had a girl in the church who made a bunch of soup for free for whoever.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice.
And then, but this had been on the books, this
yeah,
fundraiser for the women's ministry and all that. Of course, they raise funds to give it away. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they just went ahead with it. I don't know how it did, but anyway.
Well, they carried on. I'm sure it was appreciated, whatever, when people get to eat the soup and do all that stuff. So that is good. Well, I hope things start to slowly get back to somewhat of a normal. But you know, like you said, it is what it is. So what was that thing? It was like, you can be happy about the snow or sad about the snow, but it's just the same amount of snow.
Same amount.
You still got the same amount. So,
yep.
Yep. Well, anyway, on that note, do you have a recipe or do you just want to go fend for themselves?
That's kind of where we are right now, but I do have one because Chinese New Year is coming up.
Oh my goodness. So,
I know I have a recipe. I have a couple of recipes for you. And it's a little involved, but it is sesame chicken and mm-hmm, fried rice.
Oh, yum.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So for your chicken, let's start with sesame chicken. You are going to need 1.5 pounds of your boneless chicken breast, cut into 1-inch pieces. Okay. And then you're going to beat 2 eggs, and you need salt and pepper and 1/2 cup of flour, 1/2 cup of cornstarch, and then whatever oil that you use to fry.
Okay.
I am going to use peanut oil. I'm making it tonight.
Okay.
Okay. So then beat your eggs with salt and pepper. Keep that in one bowl. And then you're going to place your flour and your cornstarch on a shallow plate. Mix that together. And you're going to dip your chicken into the egg mixture and then into the flour. Do that with all of your chicken. And then you need to heat, I would say, probably 3 inches of oil. I've got a wok that I'm going to do that in. And then add your chicken to it. You probably are going to do it in batches so that it will cook evenly.
Oh, okay.
And just keep doing it instead of trying to put it all in.
Instead of doing it all. And then the heat goes way down. If you put it all in at once, it takes that heat down.
It'll take you about 5 minutes to cook it. You want it crispy, golden brown. If you're taking the temp, chicken always needs to cook to about 165 degrees.
Okay.
Then you're going to drain your chicken on paper towels. While all that is cooking, you can make your sauce. Here's your sauce. It's a teaspoon of vegetable oil, a teaspoon of minced garlic, 1/2 cup of honey. I'm sorry, 1/4 cup of honey, 1/4 cup of soy sauce. I do use the reduced sodium.
Okay.
Just so it's not
soy sauce. You might as well. You don't need it. Yeah.
2 tablespoons of ketchup, 3 tablespoons of brown sugar, 2 tablespoons of rice vinegar, 1 tablespoon of sesame oil, 2 teaspoons of cornstarch, 2 tablespoons of sesame seeds, and 2 tablespoons of sliced green onions. So while your chicken's cooking, combine your honey, soy sauce, ketchup, brown sugar, your rice vinegar, sesame oil, and your 2 teaspoons of cornstarch in a bowl. I whisk all that together to get that cornstarch to, you know, really incorporate it there. You are going to heat the teaspoon of the oil in a large pan, medium heat, not too high, not too low. Add your garlic, cook for about 30 seconds, then add your honey sauce in there and bring it to a simmer. Cook it for 3 to 4 minutes until it's thickened. And then you'll just add your chicken back in and toss that. And then you can top it with sesame seeds and green sliced
cream. Oh, man, that does sound really good. I love sesame chicken.
I do, too.
That is a little bit of a process, but that sounds really good.
It is. It's really not. I mean, it's just
not too bad.
Not too. It's just
frying stuff like that intimidates me.
Yeah.
But it's not. You're right. It shouldn't. Okay.
Well, so fried rice, let me tell you this. You do need your cooked rice, however much you're going to do. But the key to fried rice is that it needs to be cold. So make it like I made a cooked rice this morning, and I've got it sitting in the refrigerator.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
Okay. So you're going to need 3 tablespoons of butter, 2 large eggs whisked, 2 medium carrots. You're going to peel those and dice those. A small white onion, dice that up. 1/2 cup of frozen peas, 3 cloves of garlic, salt and pepper. 4 cups of cooked and chilled rice, 3 green onions thinly sliced. You need 3 to 4 tablespoons of soy sauce. I usually use more because I like a lot of soy sauce there.
Mm-hmm.
2 teaspoons of oyster sauce and 1/2 teaspoon of sesame oil.
Okay.
So you are going to heat your butter in the large saute pan until it's melted. Again, probably medium-high heat. Add your egg and just kind of scramble that in there. I will tell you that I'm leaving that part out of mine. I don't like eggs.
Joni, that's the extra protein you need.
Yeah,
all
whatever.
Right, all right, okay.
And then add another tablespoon of butter to your pan, get it melted, and add your carrots, your onion, your peas, and your garlic, and salt and pepper. Saute for about 5 minutes until your onion and your carrots are soft. And then increase your heat to high, add another 1/2 tablespoon of butter, get it melted, and then immediately add your rice, green onions, your soy sauce, your oyster sauce, and stir that until it's combined, and just keep sauteing that for about 3 minutes. Rice, And then, oh, I'm sorry, your eggs are not in that pan. You got to come back. That's in a different pan.
Okay, your eggs are in a different pan. Okay, I always wondered about that because I thought when you said do the eggs first, I'm like, oh, that's how they do it. But it's literally just a separate pan.
It's
okay,
a separate
pan. And then you throw those in there.
I got too distracted talking about how I'm not going to do that.
I know, you were like, I don't want to discuss the eggs. Yeah. Who cares?
Nope. And then you're going to add your eggs in and stir all that combined. And then right before you remove it from heat, then stir in your sesame oil and then any extra soy sauce that you're going to use.
Okay.
But again, make sure your rice is cold. That's the key to that. And really fried rice, you can add to whatever you want to with it.
You sure can. And if you have extra meat of some kind or, you know, whatever you want to throw in there, make that the entree, that works too. So I love fried rice. Who doesn't like fried rice?
Yeah. I love it.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Awesome. Well, those are really good recipes. You have a lot of faith in us. You're getting more ambitious than your what was it, the beanie weenies or the meatball or something? Meatballs and grape jelly.
Yes.
That's needed too, but I feel like your confidence in us is growing, which I feel very, very good about.
Usually, I'm just giving y'all what I'm doing usually.
I know, which is great. We appreciate it. Because we don't have to think of stuff. We can just be like, oh, here's what Joni said. Okay, it's also your top three.
Top three.
Yes, and mine are going to be very basic.
Good.
Because it fits.
It's what you're grateful. It's your top three of the week.
My top three. One is electricity.
Oh, man. That, you know what?
Electricity.
That's a big one.
Extremely grateful. Or let me add heat and electricity into that. My second one is miracles.
Oh.
Miracles. I don't know how I kept electricity.
Yeah.
Especially after what the lineman said, but miracles.
Yeah.
And then my last one is actually a product, and it's DHC eye cream.
Oh.
DHC is a company I used to order from them a lot. They have skincare products. I haven't ordered from them in a long time, but I had a sample. They'll send catalogs. There's a sample of the eye cream, and it really took care of my bags under there.
Okay, it was good. Well, I'm always looking. In fact, I just got a new eye cream, but I'm always looking for one, so that one's a good one.
DHC eye cream, yeah.
Okay. Those are very good. That's what you need is electricity and miracles and some eye cream, and it can take you a long ways.
A long ways.
Oh, well, it's good to be back together again. I'm so glad we had this time together.
May show up at your house before the week's over.
Listen, now you know where to find me. If you can get out of town, you know where to come. Until next week, guys, hope you have a fantastic week wherever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, that you can just, you know, have some peace and assurances and some joy amidst whatever, because it's going to happen anyway, isn't it? So we might as well.
All things, too.
That's right. So until next week, we will talk to you soon. Goodbye, Pellet.
See you, Patch.
Oh my gosh, there you are.
I am.
Are you okay?
I'm surviving. You're surviving.
How stir crazy are you? Are you cabin fevered up the yin yang?
Oh, I told Ron today. I said, should I just leave and go to St. Louis?
Listen, when you said where are we going, I was almost like, if you can get to St. Louis, we got airport. We can get anywhere you want. I ain't coming down there.
You said, it's cold. And I said, they've got heat.
We've got heat. We have a fireplace. We have food.
I mean, anyway.
Oh my gosh, bless your heart.